Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA with an amazing offer for new customers. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. It's that easy. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, make sure you use code KSN, bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and you win $200 in free bets. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's quarter number two of our show. That means Ross Tucker joins us. I'm Jim Galante. Ross, you've watched the tape. Illinois, Penn State, boy, was that ugly, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, extremely disappointing. So to peel back the curtain a little bit for people, I think most people know this. You know, I call college football games on Saturdays and other days. So if you're bored, you know, this Saturday, I'll be doing Bowling Green at Buffalo on CBS Sports Network at noon. Obviously, Penn State plays Saturday night. And Tuesday night, I'll be doing a little bit of Maction. I'll have Ball State at Akron Tuesday night at 7. So you can see me call a couple games if you're interested. A lot of you probably don't even know what I look like because you just listen to this show on the radio or at the Keystone Sports Network. But so I actually rewatched the game this morning, or watched it the first time this morning. All I had seen at that point was highlights and or lowlights, as the case may be, and people talking about it. So I've got a few observations, and the one piggybacks off of kind of what you said, Jim, which is, you know, Penn State really was outcoached in this game. And certainly they were outplayed as well, but they were definitely outcoached. And nobody ever wants to do this when you lose to a team that you were 20-plus point favorites over. But Illinois deserves a lot of credit. They had an awesome plan, man. I mean, they had an awesome plan. They're not as good as Penn State. They're not as talented, especially on the perimeter. So they said, you know what our only shot is? Just get as many linemen out there as possible, run the ball, you know, possess the football, keep the clock going, keep it away from Jahan Dotson and Parker Washington and Sean Clifford, keep it in our hands, and try to get some of these Penn State defenders confused, going against blocking schemes they're not used to, putting guys in positions they're uncomfortable with. Frankly, Jim, one of my big takeaways watching the game is I'm surprised more people don't do this. Because what happens is when you've got that many offensive linemen in, you just don't practice that much. Even if you say, okay, we'll go on the goal line defense, right? You don't practice goal line defense that much. And there's usually only a couple plays people actually run on the goal line. Well, Illinois had a pretty steady diet of it. They muddied the game up. They realized Penn State was without their most impactful defensive player. That's probably the wrong word for P.J. Mustafa. Their most important defensive player, I would say. Their best run stuffer in P.J. Mustafa. Let's hit him where... I mean, their game plan was exactly what they should have done based on all of the factors in play. So I give them a lot of credit. On the flip side, for Penn State, it's like, hey, you probably should have known that this might have been coming. You probably should have had some idea that this would be a good plan for Illinois. So, and by the way, this will sound like I'm absolving Franklin of responsibility. I'm not, okay? He's the head coach. It goes on his record. It's the worst loss of his tenure. It's a terrible loss for Penn State. Absolutely terrible. Unacceptable. But really, he is like the CEO. He's in charge of a 200-person operation, and he's in charge of every facet of it. Boosters and recruiting and strength and conditioning and all that stuff. And he's especially responsible for game day management. But the offensive schemes and adjustments, the defensive schemes and adjustments, he really needs to lean on Brent Pry and Mike Yurcich for that. And I thought those guys failed him. I thought they did not adjust well either side of the ball. It's unacceptable for Penn State to only have 10 points against Illinois. With Penn State skill guys to only score 10 points, I thought it was by far Yurcich's worst game. We've given him a lot of praise. He deserves a lot of criticism for what happened last week. Pry didn't adjust very well. It was painful to watch. I mean, if you're a Penn State fan and Eagles fan, that might have been like the most painful weekend of all time, watching games back-to-back as Jim raises his hand here. I'm in the same boat, Jimmy. I am in the same boat. All that being said, and I don't know if the guys earlier in the week pointed this out or not, Jim, the first overtime, Penn State's two best players had a chance to make plays to win the game, and they didn't. I mean, Clifford threw a nice fade ball to Jahan Dotson. That's a play that Jahan Dotson usually makes. I don't know what happened there. It looked like it went right through his hands to me. The defender did a nice job. Maybe Jahan didn't see it. But despite the – and let me say this too, Jim. They deserved to lose. They were lucky that it went to overtime. Illinois was the better team. It wasn't a fluke at all. I mean, you have 300 yards less rushing than your opponent. You should not be in overtime. I mean, they were really lucky to be in overtime. But Dotson did not come through. And then Brisker should have had an interception. After Penn State kicked the field goal, he's made so many plays this year. They needed him to make that one. You need, in those situations, you need your best players to step up and make big plays. Brisker did not. Dotson did not. And certainly Clifford. I mean, even that the Warren, like, you know, throw pass to Clifford could have been a better throw from Warren, too. But that's almost like the stuff that happened in overtime is almost besides the point.
They shouldn't have been in the position to go into overtime, I think, is what you're saying there. The other parts of the question on the offensive side with Yurcich, it felt like going into the game, they wanted to run the ball. I think 7 of their first 8 plays were running plays. They had talked about being able to run the ball. I'm not sure if it's damn them because they were trying to force the running play, or should damn them for saying, you're playing Illinois. This isn't Wisconsin. It's not Auburn. You should be able to run the ball against Illinois.
Yeah, I guess theoretically, but it wasn't even close, and I don't think they should have tried as much as they did, to be honest with you. I'll go the other way with that. They are really struggling to run the ball. They do not do a good job of blocking at the second level. I don't really like their run scheme. I don't think Mike Yurcich does a good job in the run game, and I actually thought they should have thrown it more and gone to what their best thing is this year, which is Clifford throwing it to their receivers in particular. They are really struggling to run the football. I thought they kind of were banging their head into a wall. They got a bad combination of a poor run-blocking O-line, a bad scheme, average backs, a quarterback that wasn't able to run. I mean, it's a mess.
And it appeared that Sean Clifford was very limited even throwing the ball. It definitely looked like he wasn't going to run the ball. At any point in watching the game, did you say, you know what, they might have been better off putting Roberson in? Just the fact that Roberson might be able to run the ball himself would at least have something we're able to do.
So, right, and then that's an interesting point. You know, the other thing I would say, Jim, if you're swapping your right guard and center at halftime, something's wrong. I never even heard of that. I don't know if Franklin, if Troutwine talked this week or if somebody asked Franklin, but I need like an explanation for that. Midway through the game, you swap positions with two guys? Someone needs to tell me why. Jim, did Miranda hurt his snap hand or something? Do you know?
nothing like that. Franklin's response this week at his press conference was, well, we're looking to do things for matchups, beside the point that it gives us a second guy in the game being able to snap the ball in case there's an injury later. But it's a matchup thing, Ross. It's a matchup thing, which I don't get that either. It kind of reeked of desperation. Like, we got to try something. We don't trust any – there's no one sitting that we want to bring in the game that we think might be better. So let's shuffle the deck chairs on the Titanic. Let's shift, Ross, now to this week's game coming up against Ohio State. Franklin says he thinks Sean Clifford will be 100%. I'm not sure that's possible in a week after he had 2 weeks off with the bye week going into Illinois. It certainly didn't look healthy there. What could possibly change for this team after the debacle against Illinois, now going against a really good Ohio State team?
Well, so what I would say for Penn State, the positives are, I think Penn State's strengths will show up against Ohio State. I think Penn State is good in pass coverage, which is what Ohio State likes to do. They like to throw the ball to their outstanding receivers. I think Penn State's corners are pretty good. I think their safeties are pretty good. I think Ebikadi is pretty good as a pass rusher, Lucada. I think Penn State has a chance in this game because of that. But they will need Clifford to be 100%. He will have to be able to run the football, and he'll have to be healthier because they need him to play really, really well. They need Dotson to play like he did last year, but it's an uphill battle. Ohio State's offensive line's very good, and they don't do seven offensive linemen, but they've been running the ball very effectively, especially this freshman, Travion Henderson, who was the number one running back last year. Penn State obviously has their hands full. I happen to believe they're going to step up. I think they're going to play well. I think it's going to be a very close one-score game. So if you're into that kind of thing at DraftKings or elsewhere, I would take Penn State and the points. I think it ends up being, you know, 31-27 Ohio State ultimately wins. But I think Penn State gives them a heck of a game.
Wow, that'd be surprising. And I'm not sure many fans are into moral victories, but that might be one. Stick around. In quarter number three, we're going to take your questions, and we're going to ask Ross.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, has an amazing offer for new customers. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.